Mike Tweed is with the Whanganui Chronicle, based obviously in Whanganui. He's a multimedia journalist there. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thanks. Rates right around the country. It's dominating conversations around councils. Where has Whanganui landed in its process?
Well, as of now, we've landed at a 10.6% average rates rise, which is for residential properties, that's going to be around 12%. I guess it's below the national average of 15%. I think that's the national average. But to get there, there's some big calls are going to have to be made, including the potential to close the Whanganui East Pool, which is the only open-air public pool in the city. And that proposal has probably caused the biggest sort of hoo-ha so far. With all these things, nothing's signed off. But it's up to the public to really decide what stays and what goes.
Sort of up to the public. They can say about it right. They can never say about it right. What are the ones that have really exercised people's opinions?
Yeah, well, like I said, it's the pool. The pool's the big one. I mean, it's over 100 years old. It's old. It's pretty old. So that holds a lot of precious memories for a lot of people, for generations. Your grandparents have swum. Their kids have swum. The grandchildren have swum. But like I said, as it's old, it needs a bit of a spruce up, and that's predicted to cost about $2.5 million. And it's also quite expensive to run this pool, around $250,000 per year, and it's only open during summer. There's ideas circulating that maybe the council could just build a brand new one in the centre of town. But that's not much use for Whanganui residents, especially those without transport. That's the big one. But also on the chopping block is the Rotokoa Virginia Lake Aviary.
Oh, we've been talking about that. We were just talking about that last year.
Yeah, it was saved from the chopping block last year, but unfortunately, it's found its way back. Obviously, that's going to cause a bit of uproar. And the Repertory Theatre in the centre of Whanganui, which was built in the 1880s and was, I think, the city's first library, that's also being discussed for closure and for demolition. So I guess those are the three big ones. And obviously, to keep rates at an affordable level, the council, you can't have everything, as our Mayor Andrew Tripe says. Submissions are still open for the long-term plan. So I'm guessing we'll be able to hear the public's feedback very soon.
I know one councillor was particularly worried about the pool. And this is an issue around the Motu, actually, with the closure of school pools as well, that if there's not safe places to swim, people might head to the likes of the river. I know one councillor was worried about. But also just that opportunity to learn to swim in a pool, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Yeah, the river especially, I mean, I guess that's treacherous at the best of times. And Whanganui East is obviously borders the river. So, I mean, I guess, I don't know, a 10-year-old Mike Tweed, if he went to the pool and it was closed, he'd probably head down to the river too, which is probably not a good idea. But, the main pool, our splash centre, is right in the middle of town. And if there was and that is quite hard to get to for some. Whanganui East isn't next door. It's quite a few kilometres away.
Sure.
I guess the river's the next best option.
It's not all cuts in the long-term plan, however, and I'm interested in what the reception is to one of the ambitious projects that is underway.
Yeah. Well, this is pretty ambitious from the council, especially, I guess, in a time of, I guess, a cost of living crisis. But they're thinking ahead. And they're proposing to sort of be the developer of a $55 million car park and hotel project. I've reported on this quite a bit over the last couple of years about when the big events come to Whanganui, be it Whanganui Vintage Weekend or the Masters Games or the Cemetery Circuit, our accommodation is completely and utterly booked out, and people are having to sort of go to Palmerston North or over to Martin for places to stay. I think it was in 2022 a report was commissioned and released saying there was a need for a 60-room, 4-star hotel in Whanganui. Obviously, that doesn't come cheap. That doesn't come cheap at all. So, and the council is proposing to be the lead in that and fund it through debt. And all going to plan, if it all comes off, that hopefully by around 2038, that will bring in around $4 million per annum to offset rates. But obviously, in a time when there's rates going up, and I guess ratepayers see $55 million being bandied around, it definitely it provokes a reaction, shall we say.
Indeed. And how strong is that reaction? Because interestingly, you know, I think of my time back doing local body politics, a proposal to close down an outdoor pool and put up a car park and Joni Mitchell, you won't be surprised, featured at some of the protests. Her music did anyway. So, you know, there's often this tension between councils doing the so-called basics and you argue over what those are and then being involved in what are perceived to be advantageous tourism projects. Is that exactly the debate that's happening?
That is exactly the debate that's happening. Yeah, like, I don't know. I guess the classic thing, fix the potholes before we build hotels, that kind of stuff. But I guess they're two separate. It's kind of two separate issues. Like if, say, the council said, no, we're not going to do the hotel, that's off the table, that wouldn't necessarily mean that the Whanganui East pool wouldn't be on the chopping block, if you know what I mean. That would the hotel would obviously be funded through debt, with, I guess, all going to plan. People staying there would pay off that investment over time, a long-term investment. But yeah, like I said, it's definitely on the surface of it when you read that, like, yeah, a huge big hotel versus a beloved pool. I guess you know which way the public's going to
Sure,
go.
sure. Let's move to another council now and some challenges it's got. So this is to do with the public transport plan. This is Horizons. Just explain the area it covers.
So usually, up until now, I've been talking about the Whanganui District Council, which is a fair city and district. But Horizons covers a much greater region. It's Whanganui, it's Manawatū, Tararua, Horowhenua. But obviously, the regional council handles Whanganui's public transport, which has, by all accounts, has sort of been underinvested in for many years. But that could be about to change, thanks in large to a big push by public transport enthusiast Anthony Tonin, who's sort of he's come up with almost a watertight case for three high-frequency services in Whanganui, similar to our current Tide bus, which means a lot more people than we've had recently. And if you look back through our fabled history in Whanganui, back to our trams, they were having 3 million trips per year before they closed in 1950. And the trams were taken over by the Greyhound service, which in the 1970s, the Greyhounds were having 800,000 trips. And when they shut in 1991, they still had 400,000 trips, even with the, I don't know, with private vehicles becoming more and more popular. And if you fast forward to 2022, we were down to only 90,000 trips, which is not very much. But Anthony is pretty keen to get us back up to at least 400,000, and that involves high frequency routes every 15 minutes, running through the central city. Yeah, and it's a pretty good case, especially I guess with people becoming more sort of environmentally conscious. Yeah, if there's a bus route, the people will come, let's hope.
He's such an interesting character, a wonderful musician, of course,
Yes, yes.
and a force for good, in the district,
Yeah.
Mike.
Yeah, he certainly is. Yeah. And you need, for things like this, I mean, most people would see, I don't know, they'd see empty buses going past and think, well, there's no point in having buses. But Anthony's, I mean, he's dedicated to this, and he's sort of to the point of sort of answering every single frequently asked question and out there that people are worried about. And yeah, to get projects like this in the public eye and sort of and to get people engaged with, you need someone like him who has a real passion for it.
He also, this is really interesting, he also used to be the, or I don't know if he still is, the operator of Whanganui's Dury Hill Elevator. What is the Dury Hill Elevator for those of us not in the know?
He certainly is. Yep, that's it. Yep, he's got his finger all in the in that pie as well. So it's, I mean, it's sort of a classic. It's a classic Whanganui tourist attraction, and one that it's quite unusual. Dury Hill is on one side of the Whanganui River, and there's a big tower on the top of it. And to get there, obviously, you can traipse all the way up, or you can go through the hill and into an elevator that takes you right up to the top. Now you've put me on the spot there, Catherine, because I don't actually know how old the elevator is. It's over 100 years old. It's still in operation. But yeah, it's one of those sort of quirky Whanganui things that sort of sets it apart. You know, you go through this tunnel, and there's maybe on a good day you'll see a smiling Anthony Tonnen there to open the doors, and up you go.
It's 104 at least from the article I'm reading. 104 years old. I thought I'd seen it all in Whanganui, but there's one for next time I'm up. Now,
Yeah, oh, for sure.
the wetlands. There's a wonderful positive story to finish on. A project to rejuvenate a wetland. Whereabouts is this, and what's the plan?
So it's the Kokohuia wetland, which I guess it's mostly in the castle, the suburb of Castlecliff. Now, many, many moons ago, I guess it was a food basket with an abundance of tuna, freshwater eel. And it stretched for hectare upon hectare. And I guess, yeah, over the years, city sprawl has kind of has gone over the top of it. And in that city sprawl, for many years, sat the Balgownie landfill dump, which was, yeah, I guess that's not ideal when rejuvenating a wetland to sort of deal with an old dump. That was capped in 2001. It's currently fenced off. And that area around there is kind of there's an industrial area, and it's I guess it's not the most inviting place for now. But a group called the Mokoia Catchment Ropu, which is made up of iwi and hapu, Whanganui District Council, and technical advisors, have plans, I guess, to expand the wetlands. Obviously, not back to it was in years gone by, but sort of restore an ecological connection back through to the Whanganui River, have cycling and walking paths, and develop a centre for research and education. And on top of that, the old landfill, that could be turned into a recreational space and a sort of a high point in the case of a tsunami. Now, the obviously you don't just cap a landfill and just leave it there and happy days. It's monitored regularly for gas and that kind of thing. And according to Kritso Venter, the Whanganui stormwater senior engineer, there's not much gas coming from it. So perhaps sooner rather than later, those fences will come down and it can start to be redeveloped. Now, all this talk of long-term plans and budgets and that kind of thing. The council has money set aside for sort of stormwater. Obviously, wetlands would be perfect for stormwater management. But the rest of the project, be it cycleways and research centres and that kind of thing, there's no funding as yet. And that is where the collective is turning its attention to next.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mike Tweed, who is at the Whanganui Chronicle. He's a multimedia journalist there.